I'm Vernon Joins,
and we welcome each of you to our
listening audience today.
We're going to be talking about the dead. I realize that many people don't want to even think about death or dead people, but there is a statement that is made in the book of Revelation that I want to call to your attention, verse 13. Blessed are the dead. But the question is, where? Where are those dead blessed, and what dead are blessed in the sight of God? You know, for 40 centuries, death stalked the earth as a horrible, ruthless monster, carrying off victims one by one and leaving the grief-stricken mourners vainly searching for some hope beyond the tomb. But all that was changed when Jesus Christ rose triumphantly from the dead, for he hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. It was because of this hope that the aged John said, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14:13. Yes, this is that hope for which the ancients yearned and searched for. Jesus Christ joyfully endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. But he did this in order that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. For until Jesus was raised, never to die again, the question of the ages has been asked. If a man die, shall he live again? Remember that question from Job 14:14? But dramatically, the answer was given as Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." In John 11 and verse 25. The picture of the tomb was brightened when Jesus placed the rose of immortality upon it. Blessed are the dead in the Lord. When the form of a loved one is lowered into the grave, what a comfort if we can truly sing, "Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wake to weep, a calm and undisturbed repose, unbroken by the last of woes." This is a song, a verse from a song that we sometimes sing. This hope is founded on the promise from God's Word. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14. How blessed are the dead who sleep with the promise. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1 through 3. Death is no tragedy at all when one dies in the Lord. If we understand what's in store for the faithful in Christ after the physical death has taken place. To live in Christ is to die in gain. With calm assurance in Christ's promise to his own, Paul could state, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Philippians 1:21 through 23. This old world didn't hold such fascination for Paul as it does for many people today, for he said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Paul's hope was set on higher ground, for our conversation or manner of life is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 20. In trusting faith, Paul could say, "I am now ready to be offered," in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. He was confident of what he was waiting for
and what was waiting for him beyond death, or you. And we are promised that we'll be able to rest from our labors. Now's the time to work. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, he said, "Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, no knowledge, no device, no wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So it'll have to be done now. And the Christian life is a one of labor, and rest is awaiting. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God, as he said in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, along with some other promises as well. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11:28-29. Saints trust in something better after this life on earth is done. There the wicked ceased from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. Job 3:17. But remember, this promised rest is not for everyone. No, it's not for all. "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but unto them that believe not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it." In Hebrews 3:18, also 4 and verse 1. An example of Israel failing to find the temporal land of rest is used to show that saints can also fail because of unbelief. "For we which have believed do enter into rest. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." In Hebrews 4:3 and Hebrews 4:9. The reward of sweet rest will compensate for all our trials and tribulations and our labors here. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name." Hebrews 6 and verse 10. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. "Not one deed or work will go unrewarded in his judgment. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. And remember that he had made the promise that the Christians' works will follow them. The theme of eternal reward according to our deeds runs the whole course of the Scripture. It was Paul who spelled it out so clearly. "Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God." 1 Corinthians 3:8 and also 9. Paul pictured the day of judgment for this purpose. "For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There's the old saying, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And Jesus taught this in saying, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6 verses 20 and 21. Jesus spoke often of the rewards laid up for those who serve him. The aged apostle saw the books open, and he said, "And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works." Revelation 20 and verse 13. What a privilege to do banking business in heaven, knowing that moths and rust will never destroy our reward. But this blessedness, the dead who die in the Lord, is qualified. John wrote, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." This does not include everyone. A person cannot die in a state of relationship he is not entered into in life. I can never die in Spain without entering Spain. Even so, one cannot die in Christ without entering into Christ. Read the precious promises found in 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18.
But as you read, notice these phrases. Even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And again, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And again, comfort one another with these words. But all this is for those in Christ. Thus we believe one of the most vital things to be learned is how does one enter into Christ? And the Lord did not withhold this information. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And it is Christ's spiritual body, the church. Ephesians 1:22-23. Colossians 1:18. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? In Romans 6 and verse 3. Biblical scholars have sought in vain for just one other entrance into Christ. But it's not there. If one enters into Christ, it must be by baptism. No, not baptism only, or baptism alone. It will be by having heard the Word of God, by having believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by repenting to God, toward God, and then, and only then, by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. But if one has thus obeyed and continues steadfastly till death, he will truly be asleep in Jesus. And we can say, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Above all, my friends, obey the Lord to enter Christ and remain there, for those who die in Christ will have heaven forever.